Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here talking some Penn State football. Coming at you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're recapping a little bit. One more visit back to beating Wisconsin 22-10. Looking ahead to Rutgers, where Penn State is a very big favorite. About four touchdowns in that game. Audrey Snyder from The Athletic will join us to talk about Wisconsin. Talk about Rutgers a little bit. And to finish it all off, we'll look around the college football playoff picture and the national college football conversation to close out this show. First, as we usually do, we'll do a little stock up, stock down, which usually it's going one way or the other. It's really easy to come up with stock up, or it's really easy to come up with stock down. This game against Wisconsin, where they win 22-10, was somewhere in the middle there. Penn State did some nice things. They also showed a couple of the same red flags that showed up earlier in the year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that, you know, that first I'm going to go stock up with, you know, he can go a couple different ways here. But, yeah, I mean, I think before we get too far into that, just to your point quick, I mean, yeah, it's one of those games where, again, you're just waiting for Penn State. And there's not been too many of these in the James Franklin era, really. But you're waiting for one of those games, Dustin, where you have to really nitpick and pry for a stock down. And it just, again, it has not been the case. They always make errors and mistakes that keep the other team in the game. Now, granted, like we talked about, there wasn't a chance for there really was not a chance for Wisconsin to ever win this game once Penn State got the lead. But no matter, it was still, you know, a heart pumper, heart throbber to the end in a lot of ways.
So let's start with a stock up. And I think the number one thing to me, let's call it co-number ones. I'll start on the defensive side, that pass rush. I understand Wisconsin is not a high-powered passing offense, and there's multiple facets to that. The quarterback, I don't think Penn State had to waste a whole lot of time and resources over-respecting what Jack Cohn was going to do to beat you, because he just wasn't going to be able to do that. But if you combine his lack of experience and, frankly, lack of ability with the fact that Wisconsin just doesn't have – much in the way of wide receiver talent. There wasn't, you know, a lot of separation anyway. So the tight windows combined with Jack Cohn, combined with the way the game script went, it's set up for Penn State's pass rush. I know I'm taking a long walk for a short drink of water here, but Yetur Gross-Matos, Sharif Miller have really come into their own. And I think they finished with, what, 5 sacks in that game.
Yeah.
They made plays behind the line of scrimmage even when they weren't sacking the quarterback. They were in his face a lot. There wasn't a lot of time to process or wait for guys to come open. This pass rush came to play, and they were certainly on that side of the ball, the biggest storyline of the game.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, it was finally an example of a play where Penn State was able to really get into the backfield and bother Jack Cohn, and they probably had a handful of quarterback hurries, which are one of the worst stats tracked in college football. But, I mean, there were a handful of those that didn't make the stat sheet that probably could have, too. Wisconsin was dealing with some offensive line injuries, and Penn State was able to take advantage of those.
I think also on the other side of the ball, stock up. Big time to me, Miles Sanders. It's just every time I'd be curious to see what the numbers say, but when he gets the ball 20 times, what he does with that and how that benefits Penn State. Because just anecdotally, when he's helping to control the clock a little bit, Penn State is at its best. And he was phenomenal against Wisconsin. This is a middle of the road defense, so there's a little bit of a caveat there. But Miles Sanders just showed all the tools that he's shown before. And I think if there's, you know, we've talked a few times about Penn State's lack of identity offensively. I think he can and should be Penn State's identity.
Yeah.
I think running the ball behind Miles Sanders is a recipe to beat a lot of teams. And you saw it again in this one, 159 yards and a touchdown, was really a dominant force in this game. And outside of that 71-yard run by Jonathan Taylor, I thought Miles Sanders certainly made more flash plays than Jonathan Taylor did. I don't know if you could say he outperformed him, but you know, from quarters two through four, certainly right there next to Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, Jonathan Taylor had what? The 71-yard touchdown run, the 27-yard run that came after that. I believe he had a 15-yard scamper a little bit later in the game. But other than that, Dustin, Penn State shut him down, and with good reason. I mean, you don't have to be a longtime high school, college, or NFL coach to figure out what Wisconsin's going to do offensively. You know, they're going to run the ball on first down. Second down, they're going to run it again. And third down, they're going to flip a coin, and it's a weighted coin. And they're either going to run the ball or run a play-action pass. That's essentially what they do. It's who they are. So you stack the box. You stay in your gaps. You stay accountable to where you're supposed to be on the field. And you stop them. And that's what Penn State did.
And speaking of Jonathan Taylor versus Miles Sanders, the side-by-side, late in this game, Jonathan Taylor was off the field, not really used a lot on third down situations, but Miles Sanders played 88% of the snaps. You know, he was a force out there, and you saw him. I forget who the blitzer was, but somebody came through the middle of Penn State's offensive line, and Miles Sanders didn't just block him. He crushed him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another one of those things. It's something that stood out about Saquon Barkley last year. That's what stands out, I think, to Miles Sanders, too, his ability. And really, that's an effort and a willingness thing to be physical as a pass blocker, and he's got that.
I'm going to throw a theory out there, and I want to get your thought on it.
I love it.
Is Penn State – this has nothing to do with stock up, stock down, but is Penn State riding Miles Sanders because they know he's going to leave after the season and they're utilizing him as much as they can, knowing that they're not going to have this sort of quote-unquote save his body for next season? I think that's it, or is it just the fact that, you know, that Penn State realizes he's their best running back and they want to ride him? I mean, I think it might be a little bit of both, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Boy, I know this is not fair to Trace McSorley because of what he's gone through the past few weeks, but right now I think Miles Sanders is the best player on the offense.
Yeah,
and
fair.
I think that's why you ride Miles Sanders. And the question is, do you continue to ride him at Rutgers and Maryland, whatever, but do you continue to ride him through the bowl game too? I don't think it has any – probably at this point, you know, we're always speculating, but I think Penn State probably doesn't even know. I think Miles Sanders probably doesn't even know what his football future holds for him. So it's really early to try to speculate as to what he's doing. So I don't think that would ever be a motivator for Penn State, but I think that – just his ability alone, you got to ride it.
Yeah.
Especially whenever you're struggling to do much of anything with consistency in the passing game.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Just to move on then, stock up for me is one that I feel has to be mentioned. It's special teams. Phil Galliano and his unit have been stocked down a lot this season, and with good reason. But Dustin, you know, Jake Pinninger did his best on a very windy, tough day for kicking at Beaver Stadium, yeah. You know, and he makes a career-long 49-yard field goal, and he made just enough kicks to give Penn State the cushion that it needed, even if he also missed an extra point. Penn State executed the fake punt that ended up being, that led to points. So
I like that play. I like the call.
Much better design than the other fake punt they ran this season. Yeah. So, yeah, overall, no kickoffs went out of bounds. They held Wisconsin's return game in check. Definitely one of the better performances by that group this season.
Yeah, that's a good call. Penn State special teams has been through enough. I think it's time to give it a little tip of the cap. Jake Pinninger, anytime you boot a 49-yarder, anytime you can tell the confidence in him has changed and grown over time. I just wonder sometimes, and I don't know if it's conditions or technique or whatever, but some of his kicks come off so low.
Yeah.
You don't have to do much of anything to block it. All you got to do is get a hand up. And that was the case when he had a kick blocked in this one. I think it was, what, a 44, 45?
Yeah, at the end of the half. That was so weird, too. Two timeouts, and they were kind of screwing around. But no, this isn't the first time we've seen him do that. You hope that they'll get him some help in the offseason to figure that out, because you're right. Teams have figured out now that you get your biggest, tallest guy. You don't even really have to jump. You just have to stand there with your hands up, kind of like you're on a roller coaster, and he might kick it right into you.
Right. Yeah. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, doing stock up, stock down off Penn State's 22-10 win over Wisconsin. The segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. The best single game RV value in Happy Valley, hands down. Check them out at GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games. One game to go, home game against Maryland in a couple weeks. There's a free shuttle to Beaver Stadium, large projection TV in the lot, free Wi-Fi, and you can enjoy tailgating with 409 barbecue and wine. One of the big time perks of going to GoPSURV.com. PSURV.com. Labatt Blue Beer, also available in the lot there. Check them out. Go PSURV.com for all the details.
Just leave
I just
now.
Sold Greg.
You do the rest of this segment. See ya.
Yeah. All right. So that's Greg. He's moving on. He's going to be at GoPSURV.com if you want to check him out there. To stick with the stock up, Micah Parsons, certainly by snap count, it was time to unleash him and to Penn State's coaching staff. To their credit, they did it in this game. His snap count dwarfed Koa Farmer's. He's made more of an impact on the field. Got a little different feel to this defense when Micah Parsons and Cam Brown are out there. And by the way, Cam Brown, an unheralded factor for this team, I think. I don't think we've talked about him probably enough. And the benefits of having a guy who's 6'5", 230 pounds, you see him lining up in the slot. You see him so often when balls are thrown down the field, whether he's in coverage or whether he's making the tackle there. He can do everything, and Penn State uses him in that way.
Right.
So both of those guys, I guess, stock up. But certainly Micah Parsons, we're starting to see more of him, which is what should be happening.
Yeah, I mean, he really had a good game. I thought Dustin really sort of took control of the linebacker duties in this contest and was a player that thrives in the game. So, yeah, no question about it. Very good effort from him. I guess we only have a few minutes left here, so it's time to transition the stock down. My two go to the returns of Sharif Miller and CJ Thorpe.
Yeah.
I understand it's exciting. Especially if you're Sharif Miller, you get the ball in your hand, you think you're going to run for a touchdown. Got to protect the football. Just go down if you don't think, and stock up for Nick Scott for going down at the end of the game. I mean, I know it's hard. I've never been in that situation, but I can only imagine what it's like to get your hands on the football and you're not used to that, and all of a sudden you say, oh boy, I get to go score. And, you know, it rarely works out well. I mean, I know those guys don't practice ball security on that side of the ball, but that's something they should probably talk a little bit about this week.
That Sharif Miller play is a danger that presents itself a lot of times when there's a scoop and potential score, or in that case, an interception. That went down as an interception, right?
Well,
I didn't look at the
stat sheet. I don't know how it was. I don't know if it was what the official ruling was, because it looked like a stripped fumble, but it never hit the ground. So I have to think it was an interception.
Okay, I'll be curious if maybe you can look it up. But when you're a guy who never has his hands on the ball, you're running down the field to an offense that is kicking itself for turning the ball over and just wanting to try to get that ball back, not having awareness that guys are tracking you down from behind is common. Less excusable, I thought, with CJ Thorpe. Just don't be you should not be going east and west at 330 pounds. Let's just put it that way. I got a stock down for the Tommy Stevens package. It's too predictable, not effective enough. You know what's going to happen whenever Tommy Stevens is on the field.
Yeah.
And I just want to see something different out of that. I'm fine with him being on the field, but throw a couple extra wrinkles there. And those are really the two big ones. Stock down. CJ Thorpe, the ball carrier, stock down. I think he was kind of defiant on the sidelines, and I'm not sure if he really made a compelling case that he could be defiant. We're moving on. That's it for a Wisconsin review. We're now looking ahead to Rutgers, a game that Penn State is a 4-touchdown favorite. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.